Welcome back to But Why Though, the podcast, and we have a special episode with interview coverage from Fantastic Fest with Memory, the Origins of Aliens director, Alexander Philippe. Take a listen.
I got to see your movie earlier this morning, and holy crap.
Thank you.
It blew me away. Awesome. And I have to ask, what made you kind of look at Alien and its making and its origins from one scene? Because the documentary is all centered around the chest burster.
Yeah.
So what was that choice for? How did you make that choice?
Well, I mean, you know, I think the kinds of films, you know, we've been making with Exhibited Pictures now, it's kind of these, you know, really deep dives into cinema and culture in a way, and into these kind of cultural moments. Like the chestburster, which I think really deserves to, you know, a closer examination in a way. But you know, this film I think is very different also from the previous one, you know, that we did, 7052, which is about the psycho shower scene. And, you know, this one is much more of a sort of a mythological deep dive into, you know, into Alien. And I like to say that it sort of builds up to the chestburster as opposed to being completely focused on the chestburster, you know, in a way. But it's, you know, it's just always this kind of passion that I have for digging deep into these cultural moments and trying to figure out exactly what happened. Why did it have such an impact on us?
And one of the most beautiful things for me, because I actually have a master's degree in religious studies and anthropology, so myth making and talking about culture and myth and how it affects people, like that's something that like hit me as soon as it started getting talked about in the film, because that's what my background is.
Sure.
How did you go about kind of finding the people to talk on on the confluence of myth that happens in Alien?
Well, you know, that's just a really organic process. And I mean, I was really, it was very important to me to find the right mythologists, because, you know, again, there's a huge difference between, you know, what we call cinema studies and then, you know, what we do, which is to make films that are a little bit of a bridge between cinema studies and the general public. You know, it's I think it's a different ask to say, hey, you know, go read a book or a thesis on Alien and then go in a dark theater and enjoy 90 minutes. So it has to be accessible. It has to be, you know, and there's a lot of people that we interviewed that, you know, were actually fascinating, but just too scholarly, too heady, too dry, too difficult to, you know, I mean, again, really fascinating to talk to, but not the kind of stuff that you can communicate with a wide audience. And so I was very lucky that I contacted the Joseph Campbell Foundation. And I mean, literally within 15 minutes of me sending the email, I heard from the head of the foundation, who said, you know, I've got the right mythologist for you. His name is Will Lynn. And he's a pretty young guy. I mean, he's, you know, I think 32 or 33, you know, absolutely brilliant dude. And he was able to really sort of take those really huge ideas and make them, I think, really accessible and fun to, you know, fun to connect with. And so I think without Will, it would have been a difficult movie to get across.
And when you talk about like accessibility to the film, something that I really noticed and really liked is your film works for people like me who have like been life, like I don't remember my life without Alien, and like Alien just has always been there. But it also works for people who may just know the chestburster from a pop culture moment, and now they get to know the history, and like they get to feel kind of what we feel. And so how are you, were you consciously trying to navigate for both fans and newcomers to Alien?
Yeah. Every film that we make at Exhibited Pictures is basically that. And it's, you know, cause I obviously am a super fan. I study cinema. I love it with a passion. And so, you know, it's obviously very important to me to bring something new to the hardcore fans, to the super fans. But I also, as I said earlier, I really want to be accessible to people who may not even have watched Alien. And, you know, nothing makes me actually happier than, you know, going to a film festival and having people in the house say, you know, raise their hand when I say, you know, has anybody not watched Alien? And there's a few hands to go up, you know, to go up. And you know, usually the first thing that they'll do right after watching Memory is they'll want to go and watch Alien, you know. So that's always been very important to me to create that bridge. And, you know, I think we've done it now for, you know, several movies. So we're going to keep doing that and, you know, bringing the hardcore cinephiles and the newbies together.
And it's a beautiful thing to watch. I mean, because obviously I think, especially in film, in genre, mm-hmm. especially, there mm-hmm. tends to be elements of gatekeeping within our cultures. And then okay. I do want to say, like, thank you for this film. Because
it's very
open. I have a couple of friends who've never seen Alien.
Like, yeah.
When this comes out, I'm like, hey, come to my house. We're going to watch Memory. And then we're going to watch Alien right after. Because it definitely serves as a really good opening.
Awesome.
That's my perspective anyway.
No, that's great. Please encourage people to go watch it. No, and that's what we need. Yeah.
And one of my other questions too was there are a couple of moments in the interviews mm. where the interviewees get really, really passionate mm. and you can kind of hear a little bit of talk back between them mm. and I assume it's you behind the camera
yeah.
and it's kept in and there's like this very human quality to it. Like
yeah.
there's that specific moment where she's the woman in the blue dress.
Clark Wolf.
Yes,
yeah.
She just gets very passionate about her hatred.
About Ash.
Yes. I don't think I've ever seen something so emotional
mm.
in a documentary like
mm.
that. Like, I feel like sometimes that would get cut out.
Yeah.
Well, what was your choice in keeping those moments in?
Well, you know, I mean, that's the thing is you got to have. I mean, I think I think our films are very, you know, they're cut in a very specific way. You know, the rhythm is very sort of unique to, you know, to an exhibit A film.
Yeah.
You know, but I think also what makes that is that I think those moments, those human moments, those emotional moments, I think are very important if you use them in the right way. You know,
yeah.
and I think it's, I mean, you know, Memory is a pretty dark film, and it was intended to be that. The score is
mm-hmm.
pretty dark. I mean, obviously the way that it's filmed, it's you know, you're in that sort of this kind of universe. You know, the alien universe, which is not bright and fun. But you know, and it needed these little sort of dabs of humor, I think. And, you know, Clark was so wonderful. And I think anytime you have someone just giving that, in fact, you know, that kind of passion, I think is wonderful. I just, in fact, that whole sequence on Ash was not at all something that I was planning on including in the film. But I thought it was, well, first of all, it was completely relevant to the premise of Memory. And she delivered it with such panache, you know, that it just had to be in it.
And was there anything that you kind of found research-wise that you didn't know before you did Memory that just, like, what was your favorite thing learning in this process?
Oh, a ton. I mean, you know, I think most of it was really sort of digging into Dan O'Bannon's archives and mm-hmm. finding all these early drawings and you know, alternate story endings. And, I mean, there's just so much. That there's so many ways that Alien could have gone, you know, you realize. But I think one of the cool things was there was this really early script, even before, you know, because Alien was called Star Beast, and before it was called Star Beast, it was called Memory, and it was only a 30-page script. But before Memory, there was a script called They Bite, which Dan O'Bannon had written, and you see the elements, a lot of the elements of Alien in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also certain elements that you will find in The Thing,
mm-hmm.
which is so fascinating. And and after reading that script, I was like, wow, John Carpenter must have read that script. There's no way he didn't, you know. And so it was really cool to discover that. To me, it's this early, early version of it. And you can see that Dan kept really thinking about this particular story and a way to tell a story in a lot of different ways. That was probably the coolest discovery for me.
And one of the things I also really enjoyed about the film was a lot of times whenever people document, you know, big pop culture moments, they focus on what makes it different. But in the opening of Memory, you're focusing on the path that it took to get here and the pieces of material, comics and
yes.
other films and other people that kind of create this legacy that Alien fits into and pushes forward. How did you make that choice to include those pieces?
Well, I mean, again, you know, once I had sort of zeroed in on this idea of what Memory was going to be about, which was essentially an origin story, and you know, I really wanted to kind of explore you know, all of the elements that, in a way, Dan O'Bannon ingested to create this story. And you know, it's remarkable that the storyline of Alien was a story that existed in the beer realm for a long time, you know, from It, the Terror from Beyond Space, to Planet of the Vampires, Queen of Blood. I mean, that's pretty much the same story. And had Roger Corman had his hand, you know, he had his hands on Alien, but had he produced it for whatever, $1 million or two, it would have probably been yet another, you know, B movie. And I think Roger Corman realized that, you know, he needed to, you know, Dan O'Bannon and Ron Chu said needed to find, you know, more funds to make it the film that it is. So, I just find it really fascinating that story just couldn't quite break through. And it took O'Bannon and Giger and Scott, and of course, all the incredible people that worked on the film as well to make it what it is.
Awesome. So what's next for you?
Well, we just finished a film on The Exorcist, actually, with Wim Friedkin, which premiered at the Venice Film Festival a couple of weeks ago. And we'll be first on the festival circuit, some pretty prestigious festivals. I'm not at liberty yet to say where, although I can say BFI London next will be coming up. And then, yeah, we're hoping to release that pretty soon. But that's a deep dive into The Exorcist, but very specifically and exclusively from William Friedkin's perspective. So it's very different than what you might expect.
Amazing. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
And my pleasure.
Thank you for your film.
Thank you very much.
It was amazing.
I appreciate it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.